The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus, but the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." And so to them he addressed this parable. What man among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he does find it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy, and upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep. I tell you, in just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. Or what woman, having 10 coins and losing one, would not light a lamp and sweep the house, searching carefully until she finds it? And when she does find it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and says to them, 'Rejoice with me because I have found the coin that I lost.' In just the same way, I tell you, there will be rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents." And then he said, a man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the share of your estate that I should receive." And so the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all of his belongings and set off for a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend his swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him anything. And then, coming to his senses, he thought, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat, but here I am dying from the hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.' And so he got up and he went to his father. And while he was still a long ways off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, he embraced him and kissed him, and his son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son.' But his father ordered the servants, 'Quickly bring out the finest robe and put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and take the fatted calf and slaughter it. And then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come back to life again. He was lost and has been found.' And then the celebration began." The Gospel of the Lord. Morning.
Morning.
You all doing okay?
Yes.
Good, good. Because I want you to be feeling right. Some very important things to say to you this morning. Particularly important. Our word for the month is, come on, what is it? Intention. Very important thought. We talked about intention last week as Jesus journeying toward Jerusalem, large crowd gathering him around him and following him to Jerusalem. And he's aware of what is going on and what they are thinking. They're thinking, hey, this is good. We're moving toward Jerusalem. Maybe now he will manifest himself as the Messiah and take over and beat up on these folks.
And Jesus, aware of that, turns around to them and said, folks, you're missing the point of this kingdom. It's not about a military conquest, it's about a spiritual conquest. And if you want to be a disciple of mine, you need to be very intentional about it. There's no half measures in this discipleship, and our journey toward Jerusalem, it's fraught with difficulty and danger and death and sacrifice and suffering and taking up the cross. I want you to look at today's gospel in that perspective of intention. This is the trilogy. We love trilogies, right? Star Wars, is that a trilogy? Or is it four or five? Or what is it? How many? Oh, Lord have mercy, seven. Two trilogy, we'll have another one. We love trilogies. Trilogies, we think, man, there's more action in this. This is the trilogy of Jesus Christ. That's why I read all three pieces. They are very significant. It's the trilogy. First one about a lost sheep. The second one, a lost coin. And the third one, a lost person. Notice the intent. The opening of the gospel says many people were gathered. He wanted to teach them. And they were gathered to hear him. And meanwhile, what happened? He had the group of those who loved to gripe and complain and find fault with, and they couldn't see the darn fault in themselves. The Pharisees. Hey, the Pharisees were good people. He loved many of them and dealt well. He loved all of them, but he was particularly close to many of them, and many of them were still looking out for him. But they had a terrible difficulty, and that was their blindness. They couldn't see beyond their nose. They could see the fault of everyone else, but they couldn't see their own. And Jesus is using the occasion to be particularly instructive to them. First one about a sheep. First part of the trilogy about a sheep. The sheep wanders off and is lost. That's not uncommon for sheep. It's much easier. You think to yourself, sometimes having a lot of sheep in Ireland, it's a great industry in Ireland, a lot of good lamb and good sheep. But we have sheep farmers, we don't have shepherds. Big difference. The sheep farmer, hey, they keep them, and they keep them for, as a livestock and as a business for trading and for economic reasons for the most part. Many of the sheep are on the hills throughout Ireland, and you have to do very little with them, just provide them a little bit of pasture, and they'll wander around and meander here and there. But one of the amazing things about them, you can have a huge wide open gap. And most of the sheep will go through that wide open gap, even when they have a sheep dog trying to move them into the pens and trying to bring him into the yard. But you'll always have the one or two who will just, hey, try to go through the hedge or the briars or the bushes or, you know, and you wonder, why in the world? But it's no wonder he says, hey, we are like sheep too, because we do that. And the reason the shepherd has this staff with a good hook on it is he doesn't have to go into the briars and brambles to pull the sheep out. He simply puts the hook in and catches them around the neck and pulls them out of some of that trouble. The second one is about the coin. She has 10 coins, right? You sure? Is that what you heard? Good. She has 10 coins, probably has them in her hat. Because it was not unusual in those days for a lady who was betrothed to marry a particular man to wear a hat, letting people know that she was committed, betrothed to somebody. And around the brim of the hat, it was not unusual for a lady to have the dowry. Now we see the 10 coins as a part of something else. It's not just a coin. Hey, this is about her life, about her vocation, about her marriage. So she loses one of these coins. It's not just a darn coin. It's about her vocation. It's about her life. So you can understand better why she is so excited and why she is so diligent in her search to find the coin. Hey, y'all, come on in. The wedding is back on again. Man, you should have seen me. Man, I was going nuts thinking he may not take me because, hey, I don't have the complete dowry. And then we have the son. We're so familiar with this. The first two, we have a kind of an inclination as human beings to say, oh, what the heck is the big deal? What are they making such a big deal about? It's just one sheep. There's 99 more. Just get on with it, right? No? Right. Yes. Right. Of course. Yeah. We live that way. We say, what's the big deal? Hey, one coin, what's the big deal? It was a drachma. It was probably the equivalent to about 4 cents, but it was a daily wage. And it was connected to the others. But we can so easily be dismissive. And then the son. Hey, what he needed was a good kick in the behind, right? Come on now, right? Yeah, sure. We think, man, there's nothing that a good kick in the ass wouldn't take care of, right? Absolutely. And we hope that his father did that, right? Right? Sure we do. We so easily slide into that. That becomes our way of looking at life. That's why it's really important. That's why the trilogy is so important. If we look at it very carefully, the intention in the first one, the sheep wanders away, he just meanders. Hey, that's what they do sometimes. There's no malice. He just gets caught up in the briars or the brambles and gets away from. Or it could be that he was ill, and if they are ill, they have a real tendency to isolate and nurture that little illness that they have. If they get maggots in their skin or whatever, they always pull away from the rest, and you'll always find that one isolated. But there's no malice in the intention. The second one, it simply falls out of the hat. It might be a little carelessness. Maybe the stitches weren't put together very well to keep it in there or whatever. But there's no malice in it. Third one. That's the one we have difficulty with. We say, he got what he deserved, right? Come on. Well, he got what he deserved. We love to say that. We love to. We're very good at rendering the moral judgment. God, it's the easiest thing in the world to go there. Hey, he only got what he deserved. Man, he couldn't even wait for his father to die. He said, hey, give me the inheritance while the father's still living. Man, what a selfish son of a gun, right? He only got what he deserved. And Jesus is saying, my brothers and sisters, I've got a story to tell you, and here it is. Lostness, no matter what reason, matters to me. Does it matter to you? That's the bottom line. Lostness is intensely important to me because it is the will of my Father that I should lose nothing of what he has given me, and nobody. But we live in the world of the disposable. We actually make things to be disposable now, right? With intent every day. Hey, don't bother repairing it, man. We'll just make it. Throw it away, buy the next one. Throw it away. And what Jesus was pushing really hard in the trilogy is nobody is disposable. Everybody. My intention is clear, that nobody should be lost. Makes it difficult for us because it is so easy for me to be dismissive. How many young people get lost in this country every year? Approximately 50,000. Approximately 5,000 of them wind up dead. It's very easy to be dismissive. How many other people are lost in our country every year for a variety of reasons? Lostness matters to the master. That's what he was telling the scribes and Pharisees. It's very easy. I see where you're at. I see your moralistic intentions, and you can't see beyond your nose, he's saying. Listen to me. Intention matters. Everyone matters. And most especially, if that one happened to be you, then I would do it all again. It's a great trilogy. Here's a wonderful piece. The great poet more than 400 years ago captured that thought. How many people capture that thought during the course of their lives? We know this well. John Donne, the great English poet, he says, "No man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less, as well as if a promontory were. As well as any manner of thy friends or thine own were. Any man's death diminishes me." What a great truth. I'm connected in him. "And therefore, never sin to know for whom the bell tolls, because the bell tolls for thee." Wow. It's brilliant. His intention is that nothing, that nobody will be lost. Sometimes I couldn't care less.